Hello, and welcome to episode 32 of BuzzHub's Front Seat Cinema. It'll be a pretty brief episode today, but I will be discussing a few things. I'll begin with some of the week's film news. Comic-Con is coming up this weekend. San Diego Comic-Con, Comic-Con International, whatever you want to call it, the big Comic-Con in San Diego. It's coming up this weekend, and we can expect lots and lots and lots of big movie news. Last year, of course, we had the announcement of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, Avengers Age of Ultron, all these big reveals. And this year, there will surely be many more, including, hopefully, some casting for Doctor Strange. And there will hopefully be an appearance by the cast of Avengers Age of Ultron. And there is also rumored to be a big Justice League DC Cinematic Universe announcement. You can read all about it up on BuzzHub. We've got full comprehensive Comic-Con coverage throughout the week. And there's an article that I wrote today that's up there right now called 10 Things We Expect to See at Comic-Con 2014. And it's got loads of stuff you can look forward to. And we've got our site all updated with Comic-Con themes, and it looks really nice. So I would highly recommend you visit buzzhub.info for your Comic-Con fix. So some of the news of the last few days. FX today confirmed that Fargo will receive a second season. Their fantastic miniseries, I really loved it, with Martin Freeman and Billy Bob Thornton. Well, it's coming back, but with an all-new cast. So the cast will be new. It's apparently going to be set in a different time period. An all-new story, but the same writers and producers. So I'm looking forward to that. Dwayne Johnson has been hinting at the role that he will that he's been cast in the role of Shazam for DC Cinematic Universe. I won't talk about that too much because that's may develop during Comic-Con. We may have more to say about that come the next episode. James Garner, the great Oscar-nominated Emmy-winning actor James Garner, died at the age of 86 this weekend, as did the great Elaine Stritch, who died at the age of 89. And they both had great careers. They both lived very long lives, as you can see, 86 and 89 respectively. And they will both be very, very much missed. In other news, 30 Rock star Jane Krakowski has joined the cast of Pixels. There's been some other Pixels as this new Adam Sandler, Peter Dinklage, Kevin James, Josh Gad, kind of big budget comedy where video game characters invade the world. There's been some news to do with the video game characters that will appear. I'm not a video games fan, so I'm not really aware of these characters. But the film does interest me because I am an Adam Sandler fan and I do like Jane Krakowski, so it's good to see her getting a big screen role. Brad Pitt's going to be re-teaming with his wife or his partner Angelina Jolie for the next film she's going to be directing, which is called By the Sea. Ben Whishaw has been cast in the voice role of Paddington in the Paddington Bear film, replacing Colin Firth, who dropped out a few weeks ago. Deborah Ann Wall from True Blood has landed the lead female role in the Marvel Netflix Daredevil miniseries. We got our first look at Avengers Age of Ultron on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. There were some new stills debuted inside. There will be more about that film undoubtedly at Comic-Con. The list of directors was revealed for Game of Thrones Season 5, and a notable omission was Neil Marshall, who directed some of the best episodes of Game of Thrones, including the Watchers on the Wall episode recently. And he will not be directing any Season 5 episodes. The reasons are not clear, but maybe he's just taking a break and will return for Season 6. Who knows? That's all the news of the week. I'm now going to go into the weekend box office, where it was quite disappointing for all the new releases, but Dawn of the Planet of the Apes did pretty well. We're over halfway through one of the worst Julys in recent memory at the box office, and the release of three new movies in wide release, including two sequels, wasn't enough to revive things, as 20th Century Fox's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes remained in first place for a second weekend with $36 million. That was down about 50% from its opening weekend, which isn't great, but it isn't bad compared to some of the summer's other big sequels, which fell much harder in their second weekend. So far, the sci-fi thriller directed by Matt Reeves has grossed $139 million domestically after just 10 days. Overseas, it has added $61 million for an international total of $103 million and worldwide total of $242 million. Now, I saw Dawn of the Planet of the Apes just after the last episode was recorded, and it was fantastic. It was just a great, wonderful example of good big budget filmmaking. Because the fact that this film is expected to be a summer blockbuster, like Edge of Tomorrow, the other really good film that came out this summer, it doesn't let the expectation of commercial appeal weigh it down, and has really intelligent ideas, and it's really beautifully crafted film, and it's such a great example of storytelling. At the center of it is this Shakespearean story of the two brothers. There's Caesar and Coba, the two apes. Caesar's the leader, Coba is the kind of resentful right hand man, and then the humans get involved, played by Jason Clarke, Kerry Russell, Gary Oldman, and they get involved in the apes' lives, and things just take a nasty turn. But it's just such brilliant storytelling. Andy Serkis and Toby Kebbell, who play Caesar and Coba. Andy Serkis is renowned, of course, for his motion capture work. Toby Kebbell is a newcomer to the format, but they are both absolutely incredible. Andy Serkis completely deserves an Oscar nomination for this performance at this point in the year anyway. He should get one, but he won't, because he hasn't gotten one for any of his other great performances, but he is just great here. There's so much emotion in Caesar's face and his eyes, and it's very hard to remember that he is actually just a CGI ape being played by a man in a grey leotard. So it's a really, really charming film at times, but it's really, really intense, and anything I say about it here can't do it justice. So I just want to say that everyone should go out and support this great film when, at a time when there are awful, terrible blockbusters like Transformers Age of Extinction doing the rounds, a film like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes really needs to be supported, because what it's doing is just so great. And I loved it. It was one of the best films I've seen all year, so I really hope that a lot of people go to see it. But its performance at the box office has been quite impressive. Back to the box office. Faring the best of the new releases, James DeMonaco's violent sequel to the 2013 surprise hit The Purge, The Purge Anarchy, starring Frank Grillo and Michael K. Williams, opened with $28.3 million in 2,805 theaters, approximately $10,000 per location. While this was down from the $34.1 million opening of the original movie, the sequel was still made on a fairly modest $9 million budget, putting it already into the black just from its opening weekend. Anarchy's B cinema score isn't great, but it's also better than the first movie, and reviews were generally better as well. It's possible that the sequel can achieve the original movie's $64.5 million gross, although it does have a lot of competition in the coming weeks. The second new sequel of the week was Planes, Fire and Rescue, featuring the voices of Dane Cook, Ed Harris, Julie Bowen and more, but it fails to open as well as the original, with the third place opening of just $18 million in 3,826 theaters. The original Planes, originally meant as a Blu-ray DVD-only release, grossed $90.3 million after a $22.2 million opening, although that amount may be tough even with very few family-friendly films opening in the coming weeks. Despite having the biggest star power and reteaming two of the leads with the director of Sony's 2011 hit Bad Teacher, the R-rated comedy Sex Tape, starring Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel, failed to meet even the lowest projections with a weak opening of $15 million to take fourth place. It did make another $3 million from nine international markets, including Australia, New Zealand and others, but most of that money came from Australia. Transformers Age of Extinction added another $10 million domestically as it took fifth place for the weekend. Sixth place went to the Melissa McCarthy vehicle Tammy. 22 Jump Street dropped to seventh place. How to Train Your Dragon 2 took eighth place. And Maleficent, Erst Echo and Maleficent rounded out the top 10. Speaking of Sex Tape, I quite enjoyed Bad Teacher. I liked it a lot more than I expected to back in 2011, and I am a fan of Jason Segel from his work on How I Met Your Mother and such. I think he's very good, and there's some other actors in Sex Tape who I'm a big fan of, like Rob Corddry, Ellie Kemper, even Rob Lowe, who's excellent on Parks and Recreation. So I am somewhat interested in seeing Sex Tape, but it isn't released in Ireland or the UK until September 3rd, so there you go. Two months, almost, until I would even have a shot at seeing that film. But I don't particularly like the idea of going into a cinema and asking for a ticket for Sex Tape. as I said last week. So thank you for listening to this episode of Front Seat Cinema. I'll be back next week with all the big Comic-Con news. Comic-Con news, visit buzzhub.info throughout the week and the weekend for up-to-the-minute Comic-Con news. It's going to be great. There's going to be some big Marvel, big DC announcements, hopefully some Hobbit stuff, all sorts. So check out BuzzHub. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Revolutionary. And listen to my other podcast, The Revolutionary Podcast. And you can find Front Seat Cinema. We have a Twitter and we have a Facebook. Twitter.com/Front Seat Cinema. Facebook.com/Front Seat Cinema. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.